Arise, people of God. Turn your faces towards the light. In the dawning of a new day, see the brilliance of God's holiness illuminating this world. Look around and see God's glory, and your faces will shine with God's radiant light. And now we're going to sing hymn number 187, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness.
Let us pray. Gold for a king, shining into the darkness of our broken world. Incense for a priest, offering prayer for our fallen humanity. More for our redemption, dying and living, a sacrifice of love. We worship you, child of Bethlehem. Amen. A prayer of confession. We long for justice for the poor of the world. We long for deliverance for those in need. We long to hear the voice of those made dumb by injustice. Forgive us for ignoring the need of others. Lord, have mercy. Forgive us for failing to act for justice. Christ, have mercy. Forgive us for our complacence. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we are made in your image. Change our hearts. Reshape our minds. Steer our imaginations. Have pity on our frailties and inspire us to hope for a world renewed by your love. Amen. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
This work. It is working. I've got a story for you two. Shall we let the grown-ups listen as well? Think they'd like it? Right. It's called The Christmas Story by Father Christmas. One cold day in December, a fox was walking in the forest. He was thinking it would soon be Christmas. But then he heard something strange. He sniffed the air and looked around. I need three hands. And there, fast asleep, underneath a tree, was Father Christmas. He was snoring. Good heavens, thought the fox. Father Christmas is early this year. I'd better go and tell everyone he's here. So he went to tell all the animals in the forest. The animals rushed over to the tree where Father Christmas stretched, yawned, and woke up. What are you doing here? They asked him. Is Christmas going to be early? Asked the fox. Sorry about this, said Father Christmas. I went jogging this morning to get fit for Christmas, but I think it got a bit too much for me. I'm getting too old to deliver presents. The animals looked alarmed. Does that mean there won't be Christmas anymore? Asked the fox. No, 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 said Father Christmas, rather grumpily. Christmas hasn't got anything to do with me. Sit down and I'll tell you the story of the first Christmas. He said, it happened long, long ago in a faraway place called, where was it? Bethlehem. Some shepherds were watching over their sheep in the fields outside the town, and it was very quiet and still. But suddenly lots of angels appeared in the sky, and the shepherds heard a voice saying, don't be afraid,
I have good news for you all. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, the Christ child has been born. God has sent his son to show the world what God's love is like. You must go and find that baby. The shepherds found the stable and went in, and there in the stable was a baby lying in a manger. The shepherds knew he was the Son of God, and they knelt down and said a prayer. And so it was in Bethlehem on the first Christmas, love was the gift that God gave us, and it still is, you know, far better than any presents I can deliver. Father Christmas put his hands in his pocket and looked warmly at the animals. How silly we've been, said the fox, to think that Christmas was all about presents.
And now we'll sing another hymn, hymn number 188, Born in the Night, Mary's Child. Going to hear a reading, and Finlay Forbes is going to do that for us.
Visitors from the East. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" In the town of Bethlehem in Judea, they answered, for this is what the prophet wrote. Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel. So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions. Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him. And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
We already know this story. In fact, we know the whole story. The birth of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We know that we, through Jesus and with God's grace, are to allow the power of love to change our hearts and our world, so that God's kingdom becomes a reality in our world. We know all this, but the challenge is whether this still sounds like good news, and whether there is still room in us for this new kind of king and his kingdom. When the wise men from the east saw a new star that heralded the birth of a baby born to be the king of the Jews, there was an excitement that drove them forward to go and find this baby, to take him gifts and to pay homage to him. Do we still feel that excitement about Christmas and the start of a new year? Do we really expect to find something new in our life with God this year? If we do have this expectation, do we expect it to be an easy journey? Do we already know where it's going to take us and how we will get there? The wise men thought they were going to Herod's palace in Jerusalem to find this baby, but they were happy to let the star lead them to Bethlehem when Herod informed them of the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. When they got to Bethlehem, it's unlikely that they expected to find a baby lying in a manger in a stable, or that they expected his parents to be such ordinary people. However, they didn't allow appearances to blind them to the fact that this baby was special, and they gave him the gifts that they had brought with them. The wise men had agreed with Herod that they would return to Herod and give him directions to find the baby. But when God warned them in a dream not to return to Herod, they had the freedom to change their plans and go home a different way. So do we really grasp the wonder of this new king? No, of course we don't. But do we want to better understand him? In today's reading from Matthew, we're given a clear picture of Herod, who is king of the Jews, but also lives under Roman authority. He enjoys power and status, and he's aware that his position is precarious. So he's threatened by the birth of this new king. And he's willing, if necessary, to use violence to protect and maintain his power and status. In contrast, we know that Jesus comes to serve others before himself, and that love, not violence, is the motivating power behind his actions. Through Jesus and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can become more like Jesus and less like Herod. But this will not happen unless we actively seek it. If we're honest, do we understand where Herod was coming from? We live in a world where power and status are greatly valued and seem to give one a better life. Of course, we'd never be as violent as someone like Herod. It may seem relatively more straightforward to seek a path in life that leads to power and status, because it feels like we know where we're going. But does this leave us with the freedom we need to change direction if necessary, or to embrace the new that we encounter on the way? We live in the world, but we are not of the world. So we need to be wary of locking ourselves into a worldly path. Perhaps we're not understanding the sea change involved in living Jesus' way. So how can we develop the openness to step out on a path we don't fully understand? The willingness to change direction as often as God requires us to. The ability to hear the Holy Spirit directing us. The perseverance to keep going, and the trust that this requires. We will need first to renew our decision that this is the way we want to go. We will need to be willing to put in the time and effort required to nurture a relationship with God through Jesus. We know that this will include prayer and studying scripture, but each one of us needs to discover what exactly this means for us and what other practices help us to spend time listening to God. We will each need to work out the specifics of how God calls us to serve others and take his kingdom values into the world. We will need to trust that if we do our bit, God, as promised, will do the rest. We do not know where this will lead us or the details of what it will entail. Are we willing to give it a go? I believe that this is what God requires of us. Not to get it all right, because his mercy, love, and forgiveness cover all the mistakes, but to give it an honest go. Just spend a moment in silence. Let's join together in prayer. We offer our prayers knowing that God hears the cry of our hearts. Through the righteousness of the Father, through the redemption of the Son, through the power of the Spirit. We pray for those who do not feel safe in war-torn countries and those in situations of persecution, bigotry, or abuse in any country. We pray that they will be loved, cared for, and protected. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have fled their homes as refugees, and we ask for peace among nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are homeless everywhere, and we pray especially for those who cannot go back to their homes as a result of recent flooding, and we ask that homes will be found for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are hungry everywhere and ask that they might be fed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves that we might be people of peace, that we might have the courage to speak up for the oppressed and abused who have no voice, and that we might continue to treat all with respect and care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let's continue our prayer by taking up the offering.
Almighty God, we bring our gift of money in thanks for all have given us. We pray that you will use them and us in the service of your kingdom. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, Christian People, Rising Your Sun, 435.
Please be seated. Hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by St. Paul, 1 Corinthians. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us pray. We offer you our thanks, Creator, Savior, Giver of life. From the beginning you have made yourself known. The heavens proclaim your glory, and the earth sings your praise. In wisdom you made all that is, and you bless us with the bounty of us. You are merciful and gracious, and abounding in love. Yet from our first days we have disobeyed your will. Long ago, you called to yourself a people to shine as a light, to guide all nations to your presence. You led them to freedom. You revealed to them your law and taught them through your prophets. Finally, you sent your promised Son, Jesus Christ, who shared our human nature and understood our weakness. Born of Mary, he showed forth our love by word and sign. Therefore, with all your people in heaven and on earth, we sing the triumphant hymn of your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Christ, our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast.
The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him.
Amen. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The cup is the new covenant in the blood of Christ, shed for you, all of you, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him.
Prayer of After Communion. God, of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God, with us, like a mother, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our sin and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free. At last. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart, 489. 489. part of the journey. Give us grace to travel onward hopefully. Give us patience to overcome each obstacle. Give us boldness to speak of you as our companion. Give us hope that we will see you at your journey's end. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.